Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Give me a break! The only thing vintage about Joey and Mish is that they're still jerk-offs 13 years later.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Handshake Gantic. Blimey Jack.
The one constant in our career was PWG. We'd continued wrestling there from time to time that we'd been at TNA. We'd been the top guys there for quite a while, and the Super Dragon noticed that we had a knack for the booking. So he started leaning on us in order to recommend new and talented people that he should bring in and asked us to help with some of the storylines on the show. It was our main platform to express ourselves and kept our passions alive during this rough patch.
You guys see what RVD said about you guys?
Asked Roderick Strong. He was looking down at his phone in the locker room at a PWG show on July 23rd. Rob Van Dam, or RVD for short, was an athletic wrestler mostly known for his time as the ECW television champion in the 1990s. In my teenage years, he was one of my favorites. One time, Nick and I stood in line for 3 whole hours to meet him at a Radio Shack in Montclair Plaza Mall. One day you'll know my name, I said to him after he autographed my poster.
I hope so, dude,
Rob had replied. Rob was at TNA with us, but we hardly ever saw much of each other. And what Roderick Strong had been referring to was an interview that Rob had done with the Miami Herald. He didn't have the nicest things to say about us.
Some of the young guys who were there or whatever, I don't want to mention any names. There were 2 young guys who just left and looked like they were out of high school. The whole time they were there, they never introduced themselves or shook my hand. Things are way different than they used to be.
Nick and I were shocked. 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 I realize that we didn't develop the friendship with Rob that we would have fantasized about having when we were teenagers or anything, but we certainly were cordial, and we always said hello. He didn't seem very approachable, so whenever we needed advice, we'd go to legends like Terry Taylor, Tommy Dreamer, or The Mick Foley. On the drive home after the PWG show, we noticed that this RVD thing had become quite the news story. Clickbait headlines for wrestling news websites that read, Young Bucks disrespect legend, started popping up everywhere online and portrayed us as ungrateful bratty kids. The conversation on Twitter between fans and even other fellow wrestlers mostly sided with a very popular and notable wrestling star. People were outrageously angry with us. Then, a light bulb went off in Nick's head.
WWE's in town next month, little bro. We should get backstage so people speculate we're gonna sign there. It could even give us more talking. Buzz.
My stomach churned at the thought. I just told Nick I'd rather not go. Being backstage at WWE triggered my anxiety. I thought back at our past experiences there and how it made me feel like I'd been walking on eggshells. While many of the superstars were friendly, we also had a few terrible experiences that I haven't forgotten about. I remembered a time a big, intimidating wrestler-turned-financial commentator peeked inside the dressing room full of extras and shouted,
TNA! TNA! TNA!
And then he sighed, as a way to put us down. I cringed, thinking back when an Olympic weightlifter turned wrestler took one look at us and he said to himself,
"You guys are smaller than my son, and he's two."
Before walking away, I thought back to when we walked backstage with a fellow local wrestler and a notable wrestler came up to Joey and said,
"Who are these two fags with you?"
I had had enough of working for big-time wrestling companies and the failures that came with it. It clearly wasn't for me.
"Matt, it'll be different this time,"
Nick reasoned.
"We're not actually trying to get a job. We already know we're signing with ROH, and doing this would strictly be for the buzz. There's no pressure to do well. I say we do it."
Nick has a way of talking people into things. When he gets stuck on an idea, he becomes obsessed and will angrily plead with you until he gets what he wants. He does a thing where he'll tell everyone around you the idea so he has strength in numbers, and then it becomes a group of people against you. It also doesn't help that the ideas or hunches are mostly always right. It's agitating, and sometimes I'll just see how long I can withstand the fight just to be a pain in the ass. But I almost always lose. We reached out to our old WWE contact, and our names were put on the list for an August 15th episode of Raw in San Diego and an episode of SmackDown in Bakersfield a day later. Heading over to Raw, we'd hoped that we could easily blend in with the other extras, just like we used to do a few years back. And as soon as we entered the building, we knew that probably wouldn't be the case. Everyone looked at us differently, and according to friends who worked in the company, there was immediate chatter about us being there. WWE referee Scott Armstrong approached us and said,
"Are you the TNA guys?
Get dressed and go down to the ring. They want to take a look at you." We quickly got changed and headed into the ring, where legendary technical wrestler William Regal was waiting. William worked as a recruiter for the WWE and was well respected by everyone in the industry. We introduced ourselves and began rolling around and 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 rolling and rolling around and working out in the ring. A short while later, he pulled me and Nick aside and he told us to pick two guys out of the extras to work with and with whom to prepare a short match to perform. And without a beat, we pointed right at Scorpio Sky and the Joey Ryan. Rolling around and, "Hey, let's give them a PWG match," I said to Joey and Sky, smiling. They looked shocked. We'd been wrestling these two for years and knew each other's styles inside and out, so why hold back? All the other times we were put in this situation, we played it safe, but we were done playing it safe. Besides, we had nothing to lose. Sky, perhaps seeing this on my face or coming to the same conclusion himself, said, "Rolling around and
I'll do whatever you guys ask and want."
We called a wild match filled with high spots and dives to the floor, all culminating in our delivering more bang for your buck. Most tryout matches like this consisted mainly of mat wrestling and basic elementary style wrestling. Not this one. As we began, WWE superstars and staff formed around the ringside area because their television rehearsal was approaching. And noticing them, we wrestled as hard as we could wrestle and received complete silence. Nick completed his trademark comeback and then dove to the floor onto Joey. Awkward silence. We loaded up Sky and delivered our finisher. Silence. The referee counted to three, and then the entire ringside broke into applause. Nick and I looked at each other and smirked. What in the world just happened, I thought. William Regal shook our hands and told us how much he liked the match. And later in the day, WWE wrestler Curt Hawkins said that he'd never seen anything quite like it. The story of the match spread throughout the entire business. In some circles, it was referred to as the greatest tryout match ever. The next day was a long drive to Bakersfield for the next WWE event, which took even longer because of the traffic. While on the drive, we noticed that our tryout had already been leaked online. The internet was abuzz. Mission accomplished. Running late, we hurried into the arena where SmackDown was being filmed that night. And as soon as we arrived, we bumped into William Regal again.
"Get dressed and meet at the ring,"
he told us. A few minutes later, he rushed to ringside. We looked around where we saw several WWE WWE superstar standing, rehearsing, and stretching.
Hop into the ring, gentlemen.
We climbed in and stood with two huge Samoan wrestlers, whom we knew from television as a tag team called the Uso Brothers. We shook hands and introduced ourselves.
We saw what you guys could do in a spot match. Now we want you to see yourself.
William said, the day prior, our match showcased our ability to do big moves and exciting high spots. William now wanted to see if we had the ability to convey that we were in pain after taking devastating moves. All great sellers use their facial expressions, body language, and verbal skills to convince an audience they're hurt, which, if done right, garners sympathy.
Everybody, please put a ring for you guys.
Without planning a single move, we locked up and started wrestling. As the match began, I heard Booker T, who was sitting at the announcer's table, doing his own personal commentary.
Who are these tiny little guys? They don't even look like they hit the gym.
He said loud enough for everyone to hear. Booker T was famously a 5-time world champion in WCW and respected as one of the all-time greats. He was now a commentator on the SmackDown. The much larger Uso manhandled me, slamming me down to the mat and stomping on my chest, then giving me a few open opportunities to show my selling ability. I grabbed my back and groaned, rolling around and reaching towards Nick for a tag, but he might as well have been a mile away. They led me through the whole match, silently whispering to me what they wanted me to do every step of the way. They'd clearly been in the situation probably countless times. Eventually, I mounted a little offense, creating enough space from the brothers,
allowing me to roll towards our corner, giving Nick the hot tag.
The hot tag is the physical tag made by a babyface tag team, usually done after the heel tag team has beaten down and isolated one of the wrestlers for quite some time during a match. When done right, it can be a high point or climax of a great tag team match. Nick blew a comeback completely on the fly or by improvisation. Jay and Jimmy Uso were so good bumping and feeding like madmen and creating the space needed and not cramming up Nick without ever trying it or even discussing it. Nick sprung up to the top rope and went for a crossbody, but Jay caught him in midair and slammed him down. Jimmy came off the top rope with a splash. It was too good not to be the finish. The referee counted to three, and Williams got into the ring with a huge smile.
Brilliant! Great match, guys!
He shook all four of our hands and then pulled Nick and me in.
Yesterday you showed me you could do the spots, and today you showed me you could sell. Great stuff, gents.
It felt good to be complimented by a legend. William asked us to follow him directly into the green room to cut some promos, where he gave us helpful advice and taught us some techniques. We'd basically been busy from the time we entered the building right to when the show started, where we stood outside the curtain talking to each other. We were on such a high from the afternoon's unofficial tryout that we barely noticed Booker T angrily approach Nick.
You're on my coat, sucker. You're on my coat.
He shouted intensely into Nick's face. Confused, Nick finally looked down and realized he was leaning on a guardrail where apparently Booker's sports coat was laid across.
Oops, I'm sorry about that. I had no idea,
Nick said. Booker grabbed the coat, put it on, and then stormed off. Nick and I looked at each other. It was possibly the most awkward 10 seconds I'd ever experienced. Nick looked at me and he said,
Wait. Was that a rib, little bro?
We couldn't figure it out. The next day, Booker T took to Twitter to talk about the situation.
Our friend RVD made a comment a few weeks back. Now I know why. I say a small tag team called the Yebbas. Did Hay shake my hand? Hell no. I said small.
He followed up with,
To make it clear, I saw two small guys on TV this week. Then I passed them during the day. They never introduced themselves. And later, one of them was learning on my jacket and still never introduced themselves. No respect. Now, do you get it?
This unimportant, grammatically inconsistent tweet became the biggest wrestling story online on the internet. And it took everything in my soul not to defend myself. Other veteran wrestlers began siding with Booker, while younger wrestlers and fans defended us. A huge debate occurred online about locker room etiquette and whether or not not, we had crossed the line. The unwritten rule in wrestling is to shake every wrestler's hand at the beginning of the day, especially if you're new to the locker room. And admittedly, we didn't shake Booker's hand or introduce ourselves that day because we simply never had the chance. Either way, this was now the second respected wrestler in a month claiming that we'd bloomed them off. So most people figure that there was some truth to the story. New articles on popular websites were being written about us on the daily, each questioning our character. Were we young and arrogant? Did we disrespect veterans of the business? Everybody was convinced so. Our reputation was being tarnished, and it broke my heart, little bros. On August 23rd, 2011, Bleacher Report's Tyler Williams wrote an article titled,
"Young and Arrogant, Are the Young Bucks Burying Their Careers?"
which stirred up even more drama. The Young Bucks officially became a sullied phrase. Needless to say, and even after our two great tryout match showings, we never heard a word from WWE. And after this controversy, not that it mattered, we had big plans for our ROH return. Thank you so much for supporting Wrestling Soup on Patreon and supporting the shows in general, guys. We really appreciate you and hope you enjoyed that rendition reading of Handshake Gate from the Young Bucks book.
Thank you.